Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, welcome along. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. My name's Tom Price, and Samantha Baines' name is...
Samantha Baines. Well, Sam to my friend.
Okay, well,
you can call me Samantha.
Miss Samantha Baines. Samantha Baines, great to have you here.
Thanks.
For a one-off special. Too busy.
I'm a very busy lady.
Someone said to me the other day, where's Sam? She said, I've been enjoying the podcast, but where on earth is Sam Baines been? She did.
Been... Where have I been?
I
was
on
holiday,
know.
And then I was ill.
You've missed this podcast for a variety of reasons, including tattoos, filming,
oh, yeah.
And just not wanting to come in because you hated Joel Dommett.
Well, you just need to get more on top of my diary.
Yeah, I do. That's true. I can't be bothered with that. The problem is that I sometimes tell you hours before we're due to record that someone awesome and amazing is coming in. For example, Mark Dolan.
Woo!
What?
Well, there it's really nice to be here, and it's... Nice to have Sam here. It obviously means that she's having a bad week career-wise.
Yeah.
But well, she's always slightly down when she does this podcast.
Yeah. The correction in your income that you're now suffering is my gain because I'm a big fan of yours, as I am of Tom's. And in fact, I've known you for quite a long time, Sam. Maybe 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Stand-up land.
Nodding acquaintance, mm-hmm. That kind of... You've never really given me the time of day, but now you have to because we're in a studio.
No, we had a great chat in a bar in Edinburgh, like 4 o'clock in the
and
morning.
That's it. And that's always a key bonding thing. Price and I go back, I would say, in excess of a decade.
Oh my... Do we really?
Yeah, maybe... Maybe even 15 years.
When did we first gig together?
Well, and your audience of many thousands don't care about this, but I think we shared an agent in the early noughties.
Oh, of course we did.
So,
you know.
There you go. And we fought for the attention of that agent. And
she dumped both of us.
Yeah, we were. Well, it was. She told me that there were huge opportunities
elsewhere.
That building.
In the restaurant trade.
She goes, and I totally agreed with her. I've been getting in your way now for so long.
Right. All right, so Mark Dolan, comedian, TV presenter, and all-round brilliant man. We are diving into your Amazon history. We're there right now. We're going back to when you first used Amazon, which is not that long ago.
Really, in the general scheme of things. No, Amazon is definitely a little bit like the illegal narcotics in that if you... I'm drug-free as a person, I'm pleased to say.
Congratulations, really happy to have you.
I can't even... I mean, if I have strong tea, I become, like, annoying.
Well, can I just say, having watched you make your tea...
Oh, God, it's a business.
So, Sam, you weren't here because you were delayed on the tube. Thanks for thanks for joining us 41
busy.
Minutes late.
Killed me.
Which is a record.
It was raining.
She's sending a clear message.
Anyway, so Sam was a bit late, so I had to watch Mark make his tea. I had to watch and indeed listen to Mark make his tea. You're the only man I've ever known to give a running commentary to tea making.
I'm really particular about it. If I could have a portable colour chart to show people, I would. But apparently that's not socially acceptable. So, I could be in the palace with Her Majesty the Queen, and I would push past her and actually tell the butler, "Let me do this because you don't know what you're doing."
What I would say, really particular, is that you are wearing a very lovely jacket that you've got on. A blazer, maybe it's a blazer. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But it's a similar colour to your tea. So maybe you should always, instead of having a colour fob with you, you should always wear something beige that you can go. Oh, can you make it out of my tie?
Let me see your tea colour.
It's a capital idea. What I need from my tea.
Pale. I'm on the pale train.
Yeah. What I need is I need it to be just strong enough that I get the little mental tickle of the caffeine, but not so strong that I get the kind of grinding anxiety of a caffeine overload.
Well, maybe you feel that way about your book purchases, because we're going back to 2007, and your first purchase was by Tom Robbins.
Oh, yes.
Can I just say that link was wonderful, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, he is
I
good.
Work in radio. This. I'm a broadcaster.
By the way... I would actually do this podcast for... I know it's paid, but it is paid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Awkward.
I'm not getting paid.
Actually,
you can't pay him.
Here's what I would do is... can I get a slice of the IP or something? Is it too late to negotiate? It's the best idea ever. I would... not only would I not take a fee, and thanks for not offering one, I appreciate that. I would pay... If you said to me, we'd like to have you on a podcast, but could you give us £50 to be on it? I think I would find 50 quid to be here because I love shopping so much.
Do you really?
It is the greatest pleasure. I think it's, I mean, you hear about shopaholics, and yes, of course, it's an issue if you know, you're spending beyond your means and it consistently. But whenever I've worked outside of the UK, just the thought of being in a foreign, I don't know, clothes shop or like a French supermarket or just shopping. I'll buy anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, you know, some jam in Italy, or it could be...
Oh, are you one of those people who actually enjoys going to a French market?
Yeah, 100%. Anything.
Oh,
markets, charity shop. Yeah, there is no retail platform I don't enjoy.
Can I just say, French markets, you think it's really idyllic and beautiful. I've done this every year because I've been to France on holiday every year for the last however many years.
Unimaginative.
You turn up at a French market. No, it's just Calais. It's just a booze cruise. You turn up at a French market and you think, it looks so beautiful. This is going to be absolutely malveilleux. And you turn up and there's wasps everywhere, first up, right? Loads of wasps.
Correct.
And everyone's screaming.
French wasps.
The
well,
kids right? hate it. The produce is all stuff I don't really want to eat. It's all just lots of vegetables, nothing very exciting. Yeah. Then you find some plastic stuff, which is complete crap, completely overpriced.
Yeah.
And then you get really hot and sweaty, and then you leave. French markets are the biggest fraud in Europe today, and I'm including Nigel Farage.
Well, funny you should mention Farage, but I think it's one of the big plus points of Brexit is the avoidance of French markets. I do agree. A lot of markets are a bit overrated. But funny enough, I think... when I mentioned about the crack cocaine and being drug-free, Amazon is definitely, in terms of retail, it's one of the really hard drugs. Because obviously it's available, it's on your computer and it's on your phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now it's like, I think they've got this new thing where you just have to kind of nod at your phone and it buys everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe this is what happened in 2007. You nodded at your phone and you bought Skinny Legs and All by Tom Robbins.
Yeah.
It cost $6.99. Tell us a bit about this.
Well, it's obviously been a few years since I read it, but it's a really imaginative book. This guy is... he wrote Even Cowgirls Get the Blues, which was a bit of a hit movie. It was a hit book and then a best-selling book and then a movie in the late 80s, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just a fantastical, mad adventure. It's got some characters that are a little bit fantastical. Like, is this person a human or are they magical?
Uh-huh.
It's really hard, as I'm demonstrating, to explain.
Well,
but
no.
It's just funny. It's a bit erotic. Skinny Legs and All, one of my all-time favourite books.
Oh, wow. Okay, what I love about this is
there's a character that's got a shoe fetish. And he gets hold he gets hold of high heels and he soils himself on them.
What's amazing is that you've bought this for Jonathan Cook. Obviously, Jonathan Cook is someone you love so much that you've very carefully thought about this present in 2007.
Yeah.
And then December 2008, you buy for Guy Gilbert Skinny Legs and All by Tom Robbins.
Can I just say one thing, which is I've only ever read one book, and it's called Skinny Legs and All.
I think we need
because I'm a slow reader.
Can we have over to you, Sam? Come on.
It's quite magical. An Arab and a Jew open a restaurant together across the street from the United Nations.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
It sounds like the beginning of an ethnic joke, but it's the axis around which spins the gutsy, fun-loving and alarmingly provocative novel in which a bean can philosophize, a desert spoon mystifies, a young waitress takes on the New York art world, and a rowdy redneck wielder discovers the lost god of Palestine. While the illusions that obscure humanity's view of the true universe fall away one by one like Salome's veils.
Okay.
Skinny Legs and All deals with today's most sensitive issues: race, politics, marriage, art, religion, money, and lust.
That's all the issues. There are no other issues.
That's, by the way, comfortably the worst synopsis of a book I've ever heard.
It's not a synopsis, it's the book itself. It's so long.
Well,
it's incredible.
You know, it's I'm afraid to say, and I know this is a bit of an easy sort of it's a cop out really, but you can't in words describe the book. You just need to read it. It was thrust into the palm of my hand by a comedy colleague whilst I was an undergraduate at the University of Edinburgh in the mid-90s.
Okay. Who was that? Who was the comedy
colleague?
He was called Mark. You're Mark. You're thinking of yourself.
Well, I know, but he was a fellow Mark. Mark Conway. And he was a very pretty small, very funny Irishman. Mm-hmm. And I did improv comedy at the Edinburgh Festival, at the Edinburgh University Theatre, which is called the Bedlam Theatre, which
yes,
is a love. It's a church that's now completely under the management of the university company. And it's a lovely thing to have and a good reason to be up there for 4 years. And I did improv comedy. He was a funny guy. And he said, Mark, you have to read this book. Stop what you don't do anything else. Just read this book. And I read it. And I'm massively particular about books.
Okay.
And I've got this total life hack, which is that if I'm not enjoying a book within 2 pages, I'm out.
2 pages?
Yeah, it used to be, it used to be 100 pages, but I'm now 45 and there just isn't time.
But therein lies the problem of modern life. You see, this is what everyone does. Everyone's like, no, if I'm not enjoying something within a second of doing it, then I'll move on. That's why we've all got ADHD. Pages. You need to suffer through. I remember reading in my my summer before university in 1999, I had to read Anna Karenina, right?
Whoa.
And yeah, and I hated every page until about page 400 or 500, and then I started loving it. And
you
then
got
it,
the
it
click.
Was, yeah, and wow. it was, I think it was 1,100 or 1,200 pages long, and it's still the best book I've ever read because I stuck at it, Mark Dolan. With
yeah,
I've
no,
just
I
given
you.
Up reading rule. A book, no, like, no. 20 pages
so
from the
So if it was
end.
Sort of like...
20 pages from the end?
I'm just
what
like...
What are you thinking? Just
I don't even care what happens.
What was the book?
Also, I won't say because it's a modern book.
14th of July 2008 now, you bought the Yamaha PSR-E313-K electronic keyboard. This is a 61-key touch sensitive. Came with an adapter, which is helpful. Lovely little keyboard there.
£110.
By the way, this does feel a little bit like a sort of police.
That's right.
Conversation.
What were you doing on the night of the 14th of July 2008?
So was this a Yamaha keyboard, a piano keyboard thingy?
Yes.
Right. Well, I love. As well as a shopper, I think I like to acquire things.
Mm.
So I lived in the Tufnell Park area of North London, which is which is strangely bipolar economically, in that there's some pronounced poverty and then some pronounced wealth.
Yeah.
And actually, I think strangely, although I really wish I could press a button and there wasn't such a division of finance, one of the great things about London town is the fact that it's not, you know, like a really poor area, really rich area. It's great that it's all mixed up.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
one positive, I would say. Mm-hmm. And that's why I enjoyed living in Tufnell Park for that reason. It wasn't just a middle class bubble.
The only people that enjoy that are the people on the right side of the tracks in that scenario.
That's a really good
the people
point.
Who go, oh, I love that about London. You don't hear the people going, that's actually fucking awful for us because we have to look at
rich
people. Yeah,
I did. I used to check with them every so often and they constantly told me they hated it through their heavy local accents.
Do you want to do one of those accents?
Well, they'd be like, we hate it. We hate it. I'm like, what? You ate it?
No, we ate it.
You hate it.
Why are they from Cornwall and living in Tufnell Park?
Expats.
That's amazing.
We ate only it. People who spend £110 on a keyboard.
So I got the story there. So
Tufnell Park.
What I loved, actually, I got slightly, being a student. You see, the thing is, if you're a shopper, and I hope that your audience will agree with this, if you're a shopper, it's not really about money. So what I mean by that is I have always loved to get stuff. So for me, it's not a factor of if I've paid for it or indeed if it's just... It's in my hands.
Yeah.
It's acquiring. So when I was a student at Edinburgh Uni, a lot of furniture was on the streets. I don't know if the housing market had started to pick up in the mid-90s, but a lot of people were kind of moving into places and getting
Are you
rid
sure
of stuff.
That wasn't just Edinburgh shows being
well,
put
it,
on.
It almost inevitably.
Yeah.
But I did
Pop-up
not, I
shows.
Know, but developed the habit in Edinburgh of picking up like a chest of drawers. Or some sort of weird wicker chair thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I know I picked up a lot of gear from the streets of Edinburgh as a student. And of course, as a student, no money. So you were just, I used to come home with all sorts of stuff. And I think I got the taste for collecting things then and it cost nothing. Mm-hmm. So then I'm in London and I'm out jogging around. Now this time we're jumping forward, 12 years or something because I'm married. I've settled down. I've got two sons and I'm out jogging. And two things happened. There was a bin bag and it had a little post-it note and it said, take me.
So you've got Alice in Wonderland stuff.
No messing around. So I opened this bag and it really was art reflecting life because there was a Buzz Lightyear in there, almost sort of popping open his eyes and going, would you take me?
Oh.
Have you got kids that could play with me?
I'm pretty sure that's the plot of Toy Story 4. But yeah, go on.
Inevitably.
Yeah.
So and in there, when this bag was more or less a generation's worth of toys. Oh. So it was like Rubik's Cube, Buzz Lightyear. A couple of the things were a little bit broken and it was all a bit sort of dusty and grimy. But it was free gear. It was toys.
So what did you do with it?
So I was out on my run, took it home and I opened this bag and I said to my sons, why didn't you pick a couple of things that you really like and then the rest will go to a charity shop?
Mm.
Because it was too much of a windfall for one family.
Yeah, the
it
kids
was,
wouldn't cope. Their minds would be blown.
It was
also,
insane.
How did they feel about their dad going for a run around Tufnell Park with a bin bag in his arm? Because you look like a burglar.
Correct.
It's a burglar look when you do that.
Well,
or an athletic maybe, Santa.
Do you, not, you maybe know me well enough to know that I'm not... I don't really feel shame. I don't give a shit what people think.
Mm.
So, for example, when I take my bins out on a Tuesday morning, I go full boxer short.
Do you
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
That
and I'm thinking,
indecent.
As long as there is no reveal of the penis, there are no laws being broken.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's really good. I've done the school run in slippers.
Have you done full school run in slippers?
Yeah, have I genuinely.
Just slippers?
Not as a default, but out of desperation. slash hangover.
So hang on. So take us back to this bin bag. So basically what you've done is you've found a rubbish bag and you've emptied it in front of your children.
And I've given my children poisonous toys.
Yeah. That you can only have some of these toys before they
Well, a lot of it, I'm like, Dickensian. I don't know what asbestos looks like. I'm like,
my kids have grown up with a terrible cough.
Correct. There's a lot of wheezing.
Oh God!
But they're like, we ate it.
So what you're saying is the act of acquiring something is nicer than.
So I love that.
Else.
So then there's a relevance to the keyboard. So this is why I'm always on the lookout. You see, So front garden of a neighbouring street on another occasion, and there is a beaten up keyboard in the front garden. Now unloved. this is a legal grey area, isn't it? Because front garden, that's someone's property.
Yeah, technically it is.
But then what if you see gear in the front garden that looks like it's being thrown away, but you don't know?
No, you leave it. You don't go and take it.
Oh, Mark Dolan goes.
Did you really jump over the fence
and
go get it?
No, I'm nobody's fool. No, just a gate into a front garden. So right. what I did is I rang the doorbell.
Okay.
And the inhabitant opened the door and I said hello.
Did you say, hello there?
Well, I said, exactly. They went, we ate there. I said, you ate it. No, we ate it. Oh, okay. I said to him, hello there. I'm Mark Dolan, Series 2, Balls of Steel.
Did he think it was a
recognition? You want a selfie? Oh, no, it's 2011. Anyway, cut long story short. No, so I said, really sorry to disturb you. I didn't know if you were throwing that away, but my son loves to play musical instruments. Yeah. Right. They're like, yeah, we don't. It sort of works, it sort of doesn't. And we don't. I said, I couldn't find the plug for it. But you can put batteries in. Mm. I'm like, are you sure? That's so nice of you. Thank you very much. Mm. So I come home with this keyboard, and it's a Yamaha keyboard, and it's one of the things with the drum machine on it, and with lots of generic songs like probably Land of Hope and Glory.
Yeah.
And a bit of Mozart, perhaps.
Yeah.
Lovely.
The Drunken Sailor.
Drunken Sailor.
Those.
And then just randomly Yesterday by the Beatles. So we've got this Space Oddity, perhaps. I'd love to know this little kind of crack team of sort of musical software engineers in Japan who have to decide what songs.
What's going
to
be on the demo?
Go on to the demo.
Maybe they could do that on the demo. They could put a podcast and someone could press the demo button on a keyboard and it's just My Mate Bought a Toaster. Hi, I'm Tom Price. This is Sam Baines. That'd be great.
So I promise to fast forward to the end of this.
All right, go on.
An unending anecdote.
No, I'm enjoying it. So you've got this keyboard.
So I bring the keyboard home. My eldest son became obsessed with it and played it constantly to the point where it didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was amazed that finding this thing has gifted my son music,
So this is 2008.
Because this was his first instrument.
So it's now 2019. What's your son doing musically speaking?
Well, he plays the piano for pleasure.
No.
And he has a piano teacher.
And he actually enjoys it.
He really enjoys
it. Does he play a Yamaha keyboard for pleasure?
He's getting rejecting the Beethoven at the moment.
Who cares about that?
Oh,
that's
overrated.
Fine. So old hat. Sam, can we have any reviews of the Yamaha keyboard? Any good reviews for us to see there?
Yeah, it's got some lovely reviews. Overall, it's currently unavailable. It's probably an old.
Oh dear, it's embarrassing.
Someone's front garden. I'd imagine.
3.5 stars.
Oh, not so many stars.
That's
there.
Harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone said, "Good and cheap."
Okay.
Or value free. For money.
Good and
a
cheap.
A toy, but what fun.
Okay.
Well, what happened is that because the device that I got for free ceased working, I then thought, well, I think I can stretch to buying one now that I got one. I got a couple of years worth out of, And this one that I bought was fine. And I just thought, I'll buy it. And that now has ceased to be enjoyed. And do you know what I've done with it?
Well, where's it got? Tell me you put it in your front garden.
Well, I didn't go that far.
Take it back to the guy and go, there you are, mate.
Went to the Harrington Scheme charity shop on the Archway Road.
Well done.
And it went within
Harrington Scheme, quote, yes.
Live quote, went within seconds.
Did it really? That is fantastic.
I bought it back. No.
So let's skip ahead now. 2009, all right? October 2009. Jesus. Again, only two orders placed in 2009. You're a very slow start.
I was a bit, wasn't it? Took a while to get hooked.
You did a bit. You bought Camberwick Green, the complete collection. Of course, 1966's biggest event was Camberwick Green. Ivor the Engine as well, the complete Ivor the Engine. Was that to practice your Welsh accent? Or
at this point, I should explain, and this is the kind of confessional bit, like, you know, the Piers Morgan Life Stories when he gets the person to cry.
You've got a secret family.
What happened is that I really wanted my kids, especially my youngest then, to enjoy some slow entertainment. And what is... I don't have a problem with, you know, CGI stuff. And I think there's some amazing entertainment out there. Pixar... and the rest of it. But, you know, the kind of stuff, I think when you're a parent, you quite often want the joy of what you had.
Yeah.
And one of the things was
how
70s
old are you,
telly.
Though, Mark? I mean, this
So I'm 45.
Right. So, but Over the Engine, when was Over the Engine in
Well, yeah,
prime?
I mean, it must have been made in the late 60s.
And did your kids enjoy it when you played them this?
Because they loved it. That's the amazing thing.
Because we're so sort of trained to only want something new and exciting. And yet when your kids... So my sons really like watching the old Fireman Sam, which is the old animated
really good.
Actual clay...
Very good shows, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Old. And they love them. Of course they do. They don't care that it's not new. It doesn't matter.
Well, with the risk of sounding really bitter and old, which I am so bitter and I'm so old.
Very old, yeah.
But I think that the focus was stories, you know, and great characters. And I think I've used that word slow entertainment, just the pace. I mean, if you, even now, you don't need kids, actually. Mm. Just maybe jump on YouTube and have a look at Camberwick Green or Trumpton.
Yeah.
Or do you know what I was a big fan of? And I don't know if it's on my shopping list there, but I'm pretty sure I bought the Paddington animations as well.
Oh, I love
and
Paddington.
These were narrated by a wonderful old English actor called... Michael Holroyd, I think he was called.
Right.
And he had this very Paddington and Mrs. Brown.
Oh,
Lovely
that
voice.
That's it. Gosh, I didn't remember it until he did his voice then.
Yeah.
It was a good impression.
He was a lovely, lovely man and a lovely voice. And it was very... And
Michael
you know,
Horden.
Oh, Michael. Oh, dear. How embarrassing. Michael, well done. And it was a lovely, lovely show. So anyway, yeah, I bought the back catalogue of stuff. They've grown out of it slightly now and they're more into cocaine.
Which also can be found in Front Gardens and Tufnell Park.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. And yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is the One Show in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is. For us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Mark Dolan, we're going to move on, right? We're going to go to 2010. It's December 2010. It's Christmas time. Yeah, it's gift time, isn't it, Samantha Baines?
Yeah.
Any good gifts knocking around on his Amazon purchases?
Well, a really interesting one that you bought in December.
Oh, it's erotic,
isn't it? Five of the World's Most Extraordinary People and Me by Mark Dolan. Now,
it's going to sound really egotistical that I've bought a book by... me, which is Mark Dolan.
Unavoidable. Yeah. Unavoidably egotistical.
Can I be honest with you? You might think I did it to boost sales.
Mm-hmm. Or to boost yourself, maybe.
Or to buy as a gift.
Do you know what it is exactly? Maybe it's a gift like Oprah when she'll buy like the whole studio audience a copy of her favourite book. And that's
not
sort of...
by herself, though.
Yeah. By her own book?
It was delivered to you.
Okay. The reason I bought it is because I'm actually a massive Mark Dolan fan. I just dig his stuff.
You can't be a bigger Mark Dolan fan than me.
I find him, it's a weird, impossible mix of like attractive and funny.
Yeah.
Which is very rare to get both.
Yeah.
Just as in, yes, I totally would, but also I'm laughing.
Yeah, it's true. He's laughing me into bed with him. That's
the funny guy who I... No, do you know what it is? And of course, I'll give you a quick excuse. So I did a documentary series for Channel 4, three series of... Wacky Docs, Tallest Woman in the World, Smallest Man, Plastic Surgery Addicts, Child Geniuses.
You sort of replaced Justin Lee Collins, didn't you?
I definitely did. It was a sort of sub, Louis Theroux type format.
Sure.
You know.
If anyone else is a big Mark Dolan fan, they can buy this book. There's 25 used available from 1p.
Oh.
I feel flattered that they're used.
1p, though.
I'd be particularly flattered if there was a special category on Amazon, which is... soiled.
Well, it says used. Used for what? That's the question.
Also, there is 11 new available for one pair.
Oh, love.
That's not bad.
So who were the five most extraordinary people? Give us a quick rundown, please.
I had a lady called Yao Defen, and she was 7 feet 9 inches in height. And you might have thought, well, this is just a Victorian freak show for the 21st century. That would be so unfair, Tom Price, Samantha Baines.
Is that what it was?
It was very much tabloid, attention-grabbing subject matter, yes. Mm-hmm. But the key thing with the series is you must have quite a unique life experience being a woman that's 7 feet 9 inches. What can we learn about humanity and about the human condition from someone with a unique journey? I know that's a bit Oprah as well, but that's how we felt about it. And we got some amazing stories. And all... So I'll give you some other extraordinary people. The smallest man in the world was a guy called He Pingping in China. Sadly, no longer with us. About 63 centimetres in height, which is tiny.
Wow. Goodness me, that's really
And then another chap from Nepal, whose father carried him around in a what can only be described as a Tesco-style 10p bag, like a bag for life.
Literally
a
bag for life.
And his head would just be popping out of the edge of the bag, and my rather exploitative producer looked at that and went, well, there's the trail for the show on Channel 4. There's your trail right there.
Man in a bag, Saturday night at 9 with
Mark Dolan. Go. There's your 3.1 million viewers. Yeah. So anyway, so it was wonderful. But the best part about that series was the final series when we ran out of extraordinary people, because once you've done tallest, smallest, hairiest...
Biggest, fattest.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, after that, it gets a bit Channel 5 and it goes a bit tragedy and it's like three legs. And we didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go for people who had chosen to be extraordinary rather than were born extraordinary. So we had the children of billionaire oligarchs, plastic surgery addicts, people that just couldn't stop changing their bodies, and the parents of child geniuses and stuff. And that was fun because that's when you could be journalistic and actually say, why have you done this? Yeah. You can't say
why have you chosen to be in a bag?
With the little guy.
No one chooses that.
What's with the whole small thing? Yeah, get over yourself.
Yeah. Well, the book has very good reviews.
Oh, does it?
4.5 out of 5 stars. No one or 2-star reviews.
I bet he writes well, Dolan. I bet he's a good writer.
Oh, I don't know.
You strike me as a guy. You've got lovely handwriting.
Have you left a review yourself?
No, for some reason, I've got a rare streak of honesty about me, and writing my own reviews is something I've just...
Can we get Mark to review the reviews?
Ball cap.
Maybe just jump on there. And just like, hi guys, Mark Dolan here.
Mr. B.R. Good has written, the likeable Mark Dolan meets. I first discovered Mark Dolan on Channel 4 Hidden Camera Show, the Richard Taylor interviews. Oh. Dolan is also a talented broadcaster. Yes. Are you sure
this is my age.
Having stood in for LBC London presenters over the past few years, the series he presented for Channel 4, in which he visited some of the world's most extraordinary people, was warm, funny and sincere.
Hello.
He is a nicer version of Dom Jolly, who we've also had on the podcast. Like Dom, without
the
gigantic chip on his shoulder, he was warm... he is a Louis Theroux without the need to act all wide-eyed, neurotic and British for the sake of it. The aforementioned series has now been given the paperback treatment by Mark Dolan, a man who uses language to great effect.
Wow. Can we reply to that? Can you do that on the Amazon reviews? Can you say,
by the way, was this written at like 2:48 in the morning when this person was... high and
it
certainly
drunk. It doesn't say the time.
That's a late night drunk review.
What time do they get up at the review factories they've got in China?
That was the literary equivalent of beer goggles, I think.
No, I think it's. I think take the own the compliment, Mark. January 2011, you bought 2 Bucky sleep mask, black. Why do you like a sleep mask?
Yeah, I did a show a few years ago called Life Hacks, and I'm a bit obsessed with things that make life more fun and easy and good.
Yeah.
And one of them is, as a travelling entertainer, and I use the term loosely, you'll go into different hotels. And I used to be one of those people, I like a dark room, and I'd be sort of trying to get the curtain to block up the bit of light at the top of the, you know, blacking out different hotel rooms. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And then I had this brainwave, which is, why don't I just cover my eyes and then I could sleep on the surface. Well,
just
the
close
sun.
Your eyes. That's the best.
Well, close your
it,
eyes
it?
Is good, but I've got sensitive. I'm a bit of a light sleeper.
You can still see the light through.
I think it bleeds. I think there's a bleed.
I find hotel curtains, they're like proper drapes. They feel like proper heavy drapes. So you really pull them across and you're absolutely fine.
They
the big problem, the reason why so many hotel rooms are light is because you can never find all... the switches for all the silly little lights they've got everywhere. It's been hours
show.
Going around.
And the
silly little lights.
The world's hotels now got so dark. Hotel rooms are all underlit, aren't they? It's all backlighting. And so, but what I like is complete pitch black. So I decided to have the eye patches, and I have literally not had a night's sleep without covering my eyes since.
For how long though? Since 2011?
Yeah, probably it may be longer than that. It might have been like, you know, around the time of the financial crash, around sort of 2008, when I was under emotional and financial.
Block out.
But yeah, no, I recommend the eye patches to anyone. And also earplugs are quite nice too.
100% pure silk as well. Good for the skin.
I know.
Very nice indeed. Okay, well,
jasmine silk.
An eye mask. Maybe that's something we should do. So at this stage, you must do a lot of travelling, Mark, because obviously with the TV career, but then because you do stand-up as well. So you're always on the road, experiencing all those hotel rooms. And now you know your eyes are always going to be safely guarded.
Yes, and did you know that Mick Jagger, that I have obviously a few things in common with him.
Height.
Exactly.
Very, very, very old.
Yeah.
Singing.
No, just thin and past my best. the thing with Sir Mick Jagger, did you know it's in his contract that when he stays in a hotel, the room has to have blackout blinds?
Oh, really?
So even if the room hasn't got that, that has to go in. When Mick enters the room, he's going to have a completely dark room because he likes to get his sleep.
God, who does he think he is?
M&M's.
So I'm not there yet, which is because it's so hard. If you try and call a travel lodge and explain that.
It's okay if you do a Mick Jagger voice.
Yeah, well, I have been known.
You could just bring a black sheet and some tape.
I'm coming to stay for a couple of nights.
That was uncanny.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was strong.
Any chance? I'm doing the lips mainly. I'm not looking at
something. Yeah, there's a lot of
that voice there was, okay. I'm afraid, not Mick Jagger.
Did I leave Mick Jagger behind?
What I heard there was...
You're going to have
I don't
me.
Know what he sounds like.
Like you, actually, and you were doing that. Oh. You were quite Jagger-esque.
Hi, Mick Jagger here.
Yeah. She's got the grooves like Jagger,
can
hasn't
I
she?
Have some blackout blinds? No, just bring a black sheet and some tape.
That's too...
like
that could be
murderer.
Misconstrued.
Yeah, it's all a bit Dexter if you do that. Make him a kill room. Bye-bye.
That's it.
You let's take move it down afterwards.
Stanley knife, rope,
well, my mate
baby
bought
oil.
A toaster podcast. Yeah. My mate bought a kettle.
There's
I don't think we've had a kettle
here.
Before.
That's so interesting. A nice kettle.
2001. Do you
Are
remember
you
it?
Me? Well, can, no.
2001?
Oh, yes, it's a really good kettle.
It's
2011.
Okay. It has a whistle, 1.5 litre with a whistle.
Just like me. I love this beautiful, it's cast out of pure stainless steel.
Yeah.
And the reason we have it is because another game changer I'd recommend to your army of listeners is an induction hob.
Oh, yeah. Keeps
They're
talking.
Very good. Mm. Now, you have gas, obviously, which is very controllable. Then you have those terrible 80s things, which is the hot ring, which everyone hates.
I hate a hot ring.
When you turn down the hot ring, it continues to boil.
I have a hot ring. I love a hot ring.
Nothing worse than
no,
gas
not a
on
ring,
a hot
but
ring.
It hasn't got the controllability. Have you not noticed? When you turn it down, does the pan not keep boiling? Do you remember those weird sort of curly ring things?
Oh, the actual ring. Oh,
like
no,
an intense
I just have
three bar
like a,
fire.
Oh, yeah. And then they brought one out which is under glass, but it's still more or less the ring.
Oh,
yeah.
I've got the under glass. I quite like
You've
it.
You've got an under glass ring?
Yeah.
I've got an induction ring now.
It's
I've got a very hot ring.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good. Yeah. It stays hot for a long time.
The reason why, I won't bore your audience, but what it does.
You boil
is,
water on seven.
It doesn't. It doesn't get hot. So a ring is just an element that just heats. This is a device that uses the magnetic
Sorry, hang on.
Waves.
We're talking about ovens here or arseholes? Because I've been talking about my arsehole.
Yeah, same.
I didn't realise this was... Sorry, this is... This
my
is
ring's
oven.
Under glass.
Shit, sorry.
Your induction ring was a cause celebre.
Have you bleached
at
yours?
University, wasn't it?
I'd love to bleach my ring. Anyway, can we move on?
But it's very good. But yeah, induction.
Nice kettle.
So I bought this kettle. And so I am one of the few people in, I would say, a built-up area that doesn't have a plug-in kettle, but
There's
rather it's a stovetop.
Old school. But I imagine you, Mark Dolan, as being someone who you do some of your best chat whilst making tea. In fact, what you should do is make a podcast or a YouTube video where you just make a cup of tea with someone, but you take ages. Because I've seen you make tea.
You're so
it
right.
takes 15 to 25 minutes, which is the perfect
Yeah, we talked
time.
About it earlier, the yeah, shade of tea.
So there you are.
Mark maybe. Dolan makes a cup of tea. That's just the show.
Also,
I think you should do that.
I like it.
Okay.
I genuinely think you should do that.
You would know because you are among so many of your skills. You are the podcast king.
Well, clearly. I'm also a format genius, and that would be amazing. Dolan making tea.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Thank you for that.
Can
you
I
get
be the queen?
You're going to be with me, and you get a very fancy cut of the IP.
Okay. All right, we'll talk afterwards. Thanks very much. I want 10%. And if you'd make it without that, me give it,
25%. I'm
a
terrible negotiator.
I'll take 25%.
Yeah. I don't want to be involved in any way.
All right, fine. Well, you're missing out. He's going to make a fortune.
There's some great stuff in 2014. What I'm thrilled about, jasmine silk men's classic silk boxer shorts,
you've got
black.
You've got silk pants. It's like sort of
yeah.
silk. They're like silk. pajama
member
pants.
Of the royal family. It's like being in the Crown sitting with you, Mark Dolan. So are you really right now sitting? Are
I'm
you
wearing them now?
Are you seriously?
Do you want to see them?
Let's have a look.
So okay. You bought 13 pairs of
I'm off mic for a second.
Do you always?
Are you actually wearing them
what
now?
What I'll do is I'll pull up a section of them. I don't want to.
Are you joking?
Don't reveal.
You. He's got silk grits on.
Oh my God! You are actually wearing them.
They are. They're actually.
Your pants were made by a spider.
I think they were made by some Chinese children, to be honest with you. But do you know what's good? I'm a bit obsessed with fabrics and materials. And anything that comes from nature, such as silk or wool.
Sponges.
Very nicely done. It's very hygienic. I love my silk boxers. And just for your audience's reassurance, they're not hellish sort of jockeys or something. They are just a common or garden boxer shape. And they're quite loose. What's also good about them is two things. One, I can wander down to the kitchen in the dead of night, let's say, pour myself a glass of milk, and they're almost shorts.
Yeah,
that's nice.
They look
a lot like a woman's. Nothing wrong with that. A woman's pajama shorts.
Thank you. That's
you could answer the door in these, couldn't you? But you probably couldn't take them on holiday. There's a story here as well with your Amazon purchase history, because on the 15th of April 2014, he goes out and he buys one pair of Jasmine Silk Men's Classic Silk Boxer Shorts Large, right? $16.99. Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? He really likes them, Mark Dunn. He has a lovely April. People are saying to him, April 2014, Mark, you seem really happy at the moment. Why is that? Because my bits are couched in silk right now. That's why I'm happy. And then along comes the 14th of May, and you spend £135
on more.
Buying eight pairs. Yeah. That is impressive.
It is. So I will tell you a life lesson, and this comes to the bit before the show when we were having the pre-show champagne, which I really want to thank you for, by
the way.
You're very welcome. I thought it was a nice touch.
We're making a lot of cash here on my
That's why the podcast is so good, is the pre-show
Everyone's
champagne.
Drunk.
I thought the snacks were disappointing, but that's fine.
Crisp is a crisp. Go on.
Good point. Pringles. Now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I've got a thing, which is if I like something and I'm absolutely cast iron certain it will be used forever, I buy in bulk. I go nuts.
You've gone nuts.
So these,
nuts,
I don't know if the history bears it up, but somewhere along the line, I'll have bought one or two to try out. And if they're successful, then we're going to go to press with it, and I'm getting 10 more.
Yeah, you did buy 4 in medium, and then you bought 1 in large, then 8 in large.
And because I'm so OCD, I found the mediums a little on the tight side, but acceptable. So then...
But wouldn't you want a medium with silk shorts? Because then you can really...
What you mean. It was quite a marginal difference. Well, in an ideal world, at large would be better. But because I'm a bit OCD, if I see that I'm wearing the mediums, I'm like, oh, they're the mediums. I'm going to have a rubbish day.
Yeah.
So what I did is I cut the size label out of each and every one of them so they all look the same and I'll just never know which is which.
I love your Amazon purchase history. And the story it's telling me, right? And you're right, because you do, when you go for stuff, you really go for stuff. Like, there's loads of Kindles. You've bought a vast number of Kindles. Most of the Kindles sold in this country have been bought by you. You've bought loads and loads
That was, by the way, corporate gifts for my management team.
Oh, nice. Tax
because
deductible.
Because I just thought, it was a really nice, they're amazing. My agent and her team are fantastic. And I really wanted to thank them. And I thought...
They must be for you to end up on this podcast.
What a great thing to... Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What a nice thing to receive a Kindle as a gift. Sometimes it'll be like vouchers and maybe sort of flowers and... But I thought a Kindle would be a good gift. But the problem is you can only give that 1 year. So that was the year of the Kindles.
Did you preload your book onto it?
50 copies. Used up half the memory.
But that's what's great. So there's loads of Kindles he's buying, Sam. I don't know if you can see this. And also loads of sleep masks and loads of his own book. So and now
shorts.
Silk pants. It's a bit like you sort of this sort of narcissist bohemian.
Mm.
And
correct.
I love it.
Very, very sort of fae and almost sort of Oscar Wildean sort of figure.
Yes, yes.
Just on a chaise longue.
Almost nude, silk eye masks, silk boxes.
Buying my latest paperback.
I want to know the story behind you ordering all in one order, The Evolution of Desire, The Guide to Getting It On, The Anatomy of Love, and the Philips 18-watt master LED light bulb.
How do those all come in one package?
If you're
darling, have you had a delivery? Yeah, don't open it. No. Don't open it. Darling, why have you...
The light bulb, basically, if you're having that much... Well, those many intimate relations, you need to see what's happening.
Oh, okay.
And also take notes as well. I had a waterproof pad. And I would like take little... I'd be like, wait a moment, darling. Let me just write that down. What happened there? What kind of light bulb was it?
LED.
Yeah,
LED.
I'm a really big fan of LED because it's more energy efficient and it doesn't get hot, which makes it less of a fire hazard.
Yeah. Also, not when you're having sex, though, obviously. No lights on during sex. So
I agree with you there. I like
I love lights on.
No. All lights
that's because you're in
daylight,
show business.
Streaming you like through the stage. Window, bouncing off my nipples.
Oh, my God.
You like
you're
a full
cut
house
that
in
out.
There.
Heath,
keep
no,
that in.
I'm cutting that out. That's definitely the essence of my mate bought a toaster right there. I want to point something out to you, Mark, because we're running out of time now, and I do want to get through this. Because what happens now? We're in 2015. You made 36 orders in 2015. Okay, Mark. In 2016, do you know how many orders you did?
136.
153.
Oh, close.
What on earth happened
it's
in 2016?
The behaviour of an addict, isn't it?
It is. It's just like, why did it suddenly? There's lots of things like the Simpsons stuff.
So that's the kids. Oh, I think.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe the kids.
So what happened is now they've come of age, the boys, and got access. Well, they've got Kindles, and when they purchase a book on a Kindle.
Oh, it's all Kindle stuff. Oh, here we go. Mark, 15th of November 2016, the PGA Tour 6-foot putting mat. Are you a golfing fan?
Yeah.
You're a golfist.
So, in my defense, we're down on the board games, but we're very up on activities at home or anywhere, like portable fun.
Right.
So it's really simple. You have this golf putter that you screw together. It's in like three parts.
Okay.
It's very portable.
Yeah.
And it comes with like some balls, and then it's got this pretend bit of grass, and then it's got a hole at the end of it, and you've got to like roll it along, and that is hours of fun. And that's the kind of thing I do with my kids.
Do you play golf in real life or just in the home?
No, I'm all about the putting. I cut out the middleman. I'm not interested in that big shot at the Tiger Woods thing at the beginning.
No, right, okay, the drive.
Nah.
Now, we've got to skip on ahead, all right? We are going to 2019 now, aka this year.
Not missing
January this year. In fact, I can see you've got this because I can see it on your phone. You have bought the Yishta battery case.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a lovely case with an extra battery on the back. How's that working out for you?
It's
Mark?
So good because what happens is that you've got a battery which is built into the case.
Yeah.
And it's like having a 90s Nokia all over again.
Is it quite heavy?
It's massively heavy and bulky, but I never think about power anymore.
No.
There's just always juice.
Well, you're posh. You've got power, naturally.
Naturally, I try. I'm born to it. So I'm at 100%, and then I've got about another 80% on the case.
Ooh, lovely stuff.
Stuff of envy. So yeah, I love it.
Lovely
I do,
battery
I like
chat.
A battery case. Go right, for okay. it. Knock yourselves out.
2019, already been a very, very busy year. Already. We're not even, what? We're in September at the time of recording this.
I know.
At 164 orders in 2019. So this
quite
is,
a lot, actually.
You've got Jekyll and Hyde on your Kindle. Bought that.
Classic.
Four of good jam. Strawberry jam.
Yeah, this is when you're getting obsessed with this sugar diet thing that you're
course.
Doing.
Man for veins. In a nutshell, a year and a half ago, I was feeling tired all the time. I went to the doctor and he said, there's nothing wrong with you. Pull yourself together.
Mm. Sounds like a setup.
He said, I've just seen someone with a tumour the size of a basketball and you're a bit tired. Go away.
Off you go.
So actually I thought, nah, he's got a point. So I'm not dying. But I just was tired, you know, and I was tired of being like really flaky all the time and everything. So what I did was I jumped on the internet and I found Michael Mosley, of course, the creator of the 5-2 diet. And he had this book about blood sugar and it was called The Blood Sugar Diet. And the idea was, it's not about weight loss, it's about if you want to be healthy, don't be spiking your blood sugar all the time.
People have been saying this for years.
Yeah.
Now. But go back to Atkins in the 90s.
Well, apparently the way we're physically built is that we're not designed to have all this sugar in our bloodstream all the time. And it's not only sugar, but things like bread and pasta do the same thing as a Mars bar. There's actually no difference. So what I did was, well, let's give that a try based upon energy rather than weight loss. Because I've never, maximum weight was like 88 kilos, which is not that much, is it?
Yeah, no.
What's
no.
that, 13 stone?
Considering
13
you're
and a half?
8'3".
That's decent. Anyway, I did it within a month, extraordinary levels of energy, much better. But then after 3 months, I had lost, wait for it, 16 kilograms.
Oops.
Whoa.
I went from 88 to 72, and I'm like rocking 71 just generally. I'm quite passionately low carb, and I think it's very good for the world and good for everybody to not eat too much sugar or the carbs.
Stevia thing?
So stevia is basically, it's a plant, completely natural, and you can actually grow it on your window box. It's just this leaf, these green leaves, and if you mash them up, they're ridiculously sweet. 200 times sweeter than sugar, but containing no calories.
But doesn't the fake sugar have the same effect as sugar? Doesn't that give
it's
you a
brilliant,
sort of...
brilliant question. Because stevia is just this leaf and it's sweet, but it has no glucose response, then no. In fact, it was used centuries ago as a treatment for various ailments in Asia, in ancient sort of Chinese medicine and stuff. But the biggest thing is it's now used to help people regulate their blood sugar. So if you've got diabetes, stevia is actually helpful.
So what do you have it on? Can you have bread?
It comes in drops, for example. So therefore, let's say I've got some Greek yogurt and then a little, maybe a tablespoon of almond butter and then a couple of squirts of stevia, and it's like the most delicious dessert. So it's very good. You can add it to lemon juice mixed with water, and then you've got like cloudy homemade lemonade. It's not great on its own because it has a strange cloying aftertaste. But if it's masked in something sort of like lemon juice or full fat
yogurt. In March you bought choco hazel with stevia, so it's like chocolate spread.
Exactly, that's good. Or you can have stevia chocolate, and again the cocoa butter counterbalances the strange aftertaste.
As a branding consultant, I just worry about its proximity to the word Steve.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's what you've just described as a miracle thing, because I'm obsessed with sugar at the moment, and I'm going to do something about it. I promise you, one day.
Let's talk.
One day. I've just had a chocolate croissant.
There's also this
Had a chocolate croissant for lunch. But I think stevia is disappointing. Do you know what I mean? Might as well be rubbish. Called collinia or
stevia
markia.
Is the word Steve, the name Steve, and with respect to the Steves out there, but it is a name of the last century. There's no place in the modern world for a Steve.
We are running out of time. Anything else we can see over the course of 2019, Sam? Oh, look, I tell you, I've got. You've got your motion sensor lights, your USB rechargeable LED lights.
So good.
I've bought four of these. They're absolutely
they're good, aren't they?
They go in the corridor. I walk past, the corridor lights up. It's like the corridor is sentient. Corridor is saying, welcome.
Magical.
And then they switch off when you walk past. Also, you can switch them to on all the time. So I put them next to my son when he reads. And they're LED, so they last. The battery lasts for decades.
It's phenomenal. I think actually one of the big things is just joyous about this conversation, this podcast, is obviously what particularly people are passionate about. I love gadgets.
Yeah.
And we're in this amazing era now where, especially on Amazon and places like that, that stuff is so good and also very cheap. Because back in, I grew up.
China.
Well, I know, and I hate to say it, and I do, and I'm not without a sense of, responsibility about how I purchase and where from. But when I'm 45, and I was born in 74, and when I grew up, cheap stuff was terrible and always broke, and then expensive stuff was pretty solidly good. So I remember when we would buy a family car. And a Mercedes-Benz, they just worked. And then we would have a Vauxhall, which didn't work.
Yeah.
So some cars worked and some cars did not work. Mm-hmm. And whereas now, everything works. Everything's great.
Mm.
And I love that. So those lights, right, those that you walk past in your house, if you'd had those like 20 years ago, had some guy called Steve come around and actually wire that into your house, it would have cost you hundreds.
So true. Wires going into the walls, all that sort of stuff. And the lights would have been, the bulbs would have to be changed all the time.
All of that.
I'd have to buy a new bulb with loads of sex books every 3 or 4 months.
I'm afraid so.
A complete nightmare. Listen, Mark, there's one final thing that I want to do. I just want to touch on two products you've bought in close succession to each other. Mm. The 13th of August, you got the Aero Latte Milk Frother.
Oh, right?
Very nice to froth your milk while you're in your silk pants. And then, on the 16th of August, you bought your Aero Latte Milk Frother. What's going on?
So I bought one, and it was faulty.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Was it cheap, wasn't it? Cheap stuff's always rubbish, as we've been discussing.
I mean, with respect, I'm sure Aero Latte, they took care of the refund, and I acknowledged that.
You've got no problems with Aero Latte here on this show?
Not really, although I have an ongoing dilemma, and you might be able to help me with this.
Well, let's fix the dilemma at the end of the show. Come on, let's do this.
Let's fix it, okay. I've got a takeaway value here, don't I, which is you're going to solve this problem.
Yeah.
So it's extraordinary, the idea of having a latte or a cappuccino at home. And I didn't realize you don't need to buy an espresso or something like that. The best bit is the milk frother at the side of the machine.
Yeah.
So there's two options, which is the Aero Latte, which is a mediocre way of getting the milk frothy.
Lovely froth. But do you have milk? Because it's got a lot of sugar in.
Yeah, you're so right. And I actually buy the low lactose.
Oh, water. I know that one.
There is a bit of that.
Yeah. Try oat milk.
It's called lacto-free. No, oat milk's very carby, I'm afraid. But the low lactose milk, lactose is a milk sugar, so it's got half the sugar of normal milk. So I have that, actually, strangely. But anyway.
What about soy milk? Is that carby?
No, that's really low in carbs. The soy is great.
But it's high in estrogen.
Exactly. There is a long conversation about whether soy is actually good for you
or not. Does soy give you tits?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And drink a lot of soy.
Don't you, Jeff?
We're not necessarily supposed to consume huge amounts of soy, but that's for another day.
What's the dilemma? Here we go.
So the dilemma is, do I buy a standalone device, which would be, I think Lavazza make one, and it's about the size of a small coffee machine. What you do is you put your milk in and it literally froths the milk.
Lovely.
It's going to cost that. About 45 quid.
Takes an hour and a half to clean, probably.
Maybe.
That's the thing.
So do I go the sort of vibration style hand whisker? Or
useful
do I go
for other things?
My dilemma is that A, the cost, and B, do I want this in the kitchen all the time?
Frother, stick it in a drawer, mate. Get two. You've got one that's being washed, one that's ready to go.
So, or Aerolatte rather than the machine.
Aerolatte frother thing. Yeah, the handheld.
You're not feeling another bloody device in
the
kitchen.
No, I'm sick of your devices on the sides, Mark. Yeah. I'm sick of them.
You don't
want
to look at them all the time.
Sick of them. Our kids are just sitting there reading Kindle books all day long. You're ignoring me because you're too busy reading the Financial Times.
And well sex said. Books.
Worried about interest rates.
Sex books worrying about interest rates. Listen, Mark Dolan, I love being in the same room as you, but this has got to end.
It's been beyond pleasurable.
It's been really nice.
Thank
also,
you.
At the time of recording, we've done an hour and a half. So at some stage, I've got to edit this down because I don't think I'm allowed to release an hour and a half podcast.
It's a mistake.
Okay, good. We're going to have to end this. Mark Dolan, thank you so much. You are an inspiration to silk pant wearers everywhere.
Thank you.
You are too nice. Thank you for having me, guys.
How can we track you down on social media?
Well,
where are you?
That's really nice of you, actually. I would say my website, markdolan.com. Mm-hmm. And there are two things happening at the moment. Talk Radio has a TV/radio show called Fake News, which I'm the presenter of.
Good.
It looks and sounds a lot like Have I Got News For You, but without, like, Ian Hislop and stuff.
Okay, so for some people, that's an improved version of Have I Got News For You, for others.
And this was my pitch. No, so
and
so
without
we're
a writing team.
Correct. There's no budget or a studio. It's just me in the garden looking lonely. So yeah, I'm on all the platforms.
Brilliant.
Come and say hi.
Thank you very much indeed. Mark Dolan, wonderful time. Sam Baines, I just want to say I like you.
I thought you were going to say love then.
Bye!
Bye!
Oh, hang on, let me just do the important bit. At ToasterPod on Twitter and give us a like and all that stuff.
Follow us on Twitter and please tweet about the podcast because then your friends will find out about it and then we'll get more listeners and then we'll
nice
feel
tweets.
Validated. And
validated.
Validated.
I want to be valeted, please. Thank you.
We'll feel validated in our life. And also, please give us a 5-star review on all the podcast platforms because I like it.
That's it. Perfect. Hooray.
Extraordinary. Well done. I don't now feel bad. So after bark, I can't kiss them always. I can't kiss them always. I love the pretty baby and I don't want you for the rest of my day. The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on, ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends, and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice, and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.